Yeah, 100%. I mean, we're in the business of instant gratification at the end of the day. It's what have you done for me lately in the NFL? So you got to be realistic with yourself and be real about your performance every single day, day in and day out. That's why you got to show up and compete. So, I didn't change any practice habits or anything. I just did what I did in practice and put it back there on the field.
That's Dwayne Carter. On his off-season there, practicing, all of that. This song, I Was Made for Loving You, Baby, makes me think of the movie That's My Boy. Inappropriate, you know, relationship, all that stuff. Crazy. Have you ever seen that?
Where are you going with this?
I have no idea, dude. Anyway, we'll go back to the phones first, though. Larry in South Florida, your first up out of the break.
Larry, get us
Talk
back
Saturday.
On track. Come on.
How's it going, Larry?
Hey, Joe. Nice to talk to you on a Saturday.
Yes, nice to talk to you, too.
So I wanted to bring up the point, as you guys are leaving for break, you said call, you know, you. I think you're with your thoughts on McDermott. So, I mean, Joe, you know, I've talked to you for so long.
Yeah.
I really thought McDermott should go after a 13-second game. Now, I do think he improved quite a bit, you know, and he was a great coach during the regular season, but he took him as far as he's going to take him in the playoffs. And if last year is the year that you don't have Joe Burrow in the playoffs, you don't have Lamar Jackson in the playoffs, you don't have Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs, we're going against Bo Nix. Like, Bo Nix is not a threat, in my opinion. And we just dropped the ball. I mean, McDermott got so conservative on defense. Yeah, Allen, you know, with his turnovers, it hurt us. But like you said, he fought back and got us to overtime. But that defense once again let us down. Now, yes, it's true that we had the ball in a couple of those games that we could have won.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Josh has done enough that we should have made that Super Bowl last year. I think we go to New England and we destroy him if we get by Denver. But the fact that we did not get by Denver, that had to happen. He had to be let go. Because if he couldn't get over that hump without those three prolific quarterbacks, what hump's he going to get over? Like, I don't see it, and I'd love to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, Larry, thanks for the call. I agree. What hump could he not get over at that point if he was able to get over Denver? Listen, I'm not going to sit here and act like I was anti-McDermott. After 13 seconds, I was, right? But as
right.
Larry said, he did improve quite a bit from that point forward.
Which is a big deal.
I mean,
the fact that he was given the opportunity to improve from that, and then he did, is kind of a... That is a good thing.
It's a very good thing.
It is a good thing. However...
But I don't disagree with what Larry said of, last year was the year. You didn't have the big wigs in the playoffs with you. You didn't have these guys you had to worry about year in and year out, trying to take you out of the dance. You had Bo Nix and the Broncos, and you had, coming up that week, Drake the Schedule May and the Patriots falling apart pretty much at the seams.
With a team that averaged 10 less points per game in the postseason facing quality defenses.
Yes.
And, by the way, only beats Jared Stidham.
Barely. By 3 points.
By 3 points.
3 points.
So
yes, Larry, I agree with you. I think it was time. As much as I liked McDermott as the person, as we talked about, as much as I think he did improve, I think a change had to be made at some point. Now, do I think the general manager possibly should have gone along with? Potentially, right? But that's neither here nor there. He's still here. Got promoted.
Oh.
So sorry to cut into that thought, but holy shnikes, what almost catch.
Fourth
that
and
was.
18 from like the 25.
For Houston.
For Houston on the Oregon State 25.
Just couldn't get down in time.
What a catch that is. Oh, yeah. Man.
Tough scenes there. College football.
College football. Again, we are back.
We are back. But I agree with Larry. I think it was time for a change, and I think you've heard that sentiment now from players. You've heard that from Josh Allen mentioning, you know, change is good. Not saying it was his idea or what. Clearly, he was upset about it.
Right.
Sean McDermott was at his wedding. He's coached him ever since he was in the league. Like, you're not going to be happy about that. But in retrospect, yeah, a new juice is good. And I think that's where I ended up. I'm fine with it.
Again, there's a lot of it to where, and this is where I think McDermott has, the words that he says, you know, endearingly about the team on the Rich Eisen show and everything like that, it brings back complicated feelings about the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yes, everyone could agree that it probably was something where it just needed to happen at this point. Unfortunately, a head coach wears it fairly or unfairly.
Richard, yeah, they Richard are the tweets, face of the franchise at the end of the day.
Richard tweets in, Josh also missed a wide-open Dawson Knox for a game-winning touchdown.
Yeah, that's huge.
That happens too. But the owner takes the wrong message from a quarterback upset in the locker room. The quarterback's upset because he played below his standards, and it cost them. And he knows that. I don't know if he knows that he got people fired, but he definitely knows that that affected the game. A coach has no power over that. A coach has no power over the actual great idea of, let's see if Josh Allen could sneak a field goal in.
Right.
The only thing is, the execution turned into, he snuck a field goal in for the other team.
Yeah.
And instead of stealing points, you surrendered them.
And it just so happened to be the 3 points that would make the biggest difference in the end result.
But the head coach is right. Now let's see if we could sneak 3 points in.
Yeah. Why and not? Everyone wanted him to be more aggressive his entire career. That was a very aggressive move, and Sean I respected
McDermott.
That.
Sean McDermott.
He got very aggressive.
A lot of times. Once he had Josh Allen under center, he understood.
Fourth down decision making.
It was almost a no-brainer. Mm-hmm. He's going for it. You didn't even have to ask
yourself.
If it
was within 4 yards, they're on the field.
You didn't. Ready? Sometimes situation dependent. It could be 4th and 6.
Well, it was fourth. Wasn't it 4th and 15 or 4th and 25 in the Chiefs game? And they had him when Allen just ended the game and ran it into the end zone by himself. It was 4th and long. It was a situation where you had to go for it. You couldn't kick the field goal. You had to win.
It was 4th and long in 13 seconds when Allen should have sealed the game.
Mm-hmm.
When he hits Gabe Davis, that is, you make the play or you go home.
Yeah. And unfortunately,
turns out he did both.
But one of the few examples in history where both.
One of the few examples in history where both ends up happening, where you make the play and then you still somehow end up going home. But I digress.
Can't bring that back. Can't reopen that wound.
But the thing is, a head coach doesn't have all the power in that. He makes a decision that should be a smart one and it backfires. He makes a decision that it could be seen, if we're looking at 13 seconds again, it's a poor one and it hits you right where it should. There's only so much that a head coach actually does. The players on the field do still have the responsibility, which is why the handling of the firing will still be something I need to call out.
Mm-hmm.
I think I like Joe Brady as a head coach. It's the only thing I like about the entire situation dating back to January. The way that McDermott is ultimately let go. The owner misreads something in the locker room.
Admiral.
The statement is atrocious. The team does not thank him until Joe Brady's introductory press conference, where Brady, unprompted, thanks McDermott.
It was the first real mention outside of a social media post. Like you said, the post was late.
And they were bullied into it.
Mm-hmm.
We were all wondering, why isn't there an acknowledgement, a thank you for a guy who broke the playoff drought?
Right.
Let alone brought the Bills back into the national spotlight. They were bullied into that. So that's where I see McDermott with the endearing feelings and the analysis that he gives about the Bills, and I go, man, they really did do you a little dirty in a way. Like, the sentiment as to why he is fired is real and agreeable. As Larry calls in with, what hump are you getting over?
Mm-hmm.
However, the handling of it and the execution was so bad.
Right. And I think that's where you feel for the person more than anything.
You hear from the person, and he's like, that place was awesome. It was great for me and my family. I think they're legitimate contenders again. It's almost as if he has no ill will if they win without him.
Yeah.
Which would seriously damage his legacy and credentials as a head coach. And he doesn't care for a moment. He's got NFL head coach money. Why would you care?
Right.
But he's also an NFL head coach.
Well, he's not putting that first. He's still putting the team first, even though he's not employed by them anymore.
But what he is also still, at the end of the day, he's a head coach.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to want to get back in the game.
Yeah.
Somewhere. And if the Bills win without him, that seriously damages his ability to become a head coach again.
All right, let's have the conversation. Where is his next landing spot? If you had to look at every middling team in the NFL.
Cleveland.
You think it's the Browns?
What organization needs a culture reset more than the Cleveland Browns, and Todd Monken's going to be one and done?
The Jets? Tampa Bay? Todd Bowles stinks. Philadelphia, after Sirianni, has another rough season?
They're not going to fire Sirianni. He's done
He's
too much
a nut job.
He's done too much for them already, though. I would be surprised if he gets fired unless it's a disaster season.
I think it could be for them, truthfully.
If they go sub 500.
If they miss the playoffs, he's gone.
I think it's sub 500.
You think?
They would have to get rid of him then. But
They've been quicker to get rid of Super Bowl winning head coaches in their history. Howie Roseman's not going to wait around.
I know, but Doug Peterson became a disaster.
Right.
Sirianni has problematic moments, but he's not an overall disaster yet. He might even be seen as fraudulent. But he's not a disaster. Because the team manages to get to 11 wins with absolute tire fire Kevin Petullo calling their offense.
Right. The 9-year-old kid after the game saying he should be flipping burgers somewhere.
But I think that Cleveland is the answer because Sean McDermott does something very, 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 very well. Reestablish a new culture.
Yeah.
Let the past die and you move forward.
See, I think... with starting Deshaun Watson, here's my whole take on the Browns situation here. With them starting Deshaun Watson, that's signaling to me, and Monken being okay with it, if they wanted to really win, they would put Shadur in. If they wanted to win games, they would put him in. Deshaun Watson is going to fail. He's going to fall apart, flame out, and guess what? That gives Todd Monken a hall pass for this season. He's going to be absolutely fine. They're going to allow him a second season with a different quarterback. They need to let the Deshaun Watson thing play its course and him to completely fall apart on the field. Or do well. Who knows? I think if you really were trying to win football games, Shadur Sanders would be named the starter, which indicates to me his job isn't on the line because they're not trying to win games.
I also saw Lovie Smith take an awful Texans team that had Deshaun Watson sit out for the season. And oh, wait, that was post-trade, excuse me.
Post-trade, yeah.
It was post-trade. I had Lovie Smith command a Texans team and unfairly be one and done.
Sure. You had Gerard Mayo one and done with the Patriots, and they were a dumpster
Monken
fire.
Monken could just be a bad head coach, too.
Yeah.
So,
but I think, honestly, the sentiment around him is all good, considering the Browns.
But I think that...
everyone likes his honesty, all of that stuff.
But I think that when it comes to... you asked the question where he ends up next, and I think it is Cleveland, because a new coach requires a new quarterback, does it not? A new quarterback is something that the Cleveland Browns are definitely going to go and get.
Well, a new coach doesn't require a new quarterback because Monken would have had that if that was the case. And I think they're going to give him that next season.
But Monken also was seen as a last resort. Remember, McDermott's fired late.
Yeah.
And that is where I think if you're Cleveland, you let this season play out, you let Monken take his lumps, who, by the way, was available to be hired as a coach because John Harbaugh says, I'm not giving up Monken. And the Ravens move on.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the sticking points. Like Harbaugh obviously
had his problems.
No, there are a couple
more, sure. Yeah.
But Harbaugh wanted to stick by his guys, which include Monken, who would decide, hey, what if I didn't use Derrick Henry in closing situations?
Sure. Well, see, I get what you're saying, but I also look at Aaron Quinn still running the New York Jets. Not Aaron Quinn.
Aaron Glenn.
Sorry, Aaron Quinn's a
Buffalo
sports
Aaron
contributor.
Hey, Aaron Quinn of Cover One. Yes. You're now the coach of the Jets.
Yeah,
good luck, buddy.
I don't know if that's congratulations for Aaron there, but sorry, Aaron. We got my wires crossed. I apologize if you're listening. But no, I like Aaron Quinn a lot.
No, anyway. AQ's a good dude.
Yes, very good. I can't believe I just did that.
Anyway.
Aaron Glenn. You have that guy still coaching the Jets this season. So everything you're saying makes sense, but I think Monken's good for another year. I think I genuinely do. I see McDermott going toward a Carolina.
No, they're not getting rid of Canales.
He's a big Carolina guy.
They're not getting rid of Canales. He's good.
Sure?
He's a good coach. He is a good coach.
I see him in Tampa Bay. I see him because guess what?
Now, you might sell me on Tampa Bay.
Todd Bowles is a nightmare for a team, and he's the reason they're just middling for me.
You might sell me on Tampa.
They've got talent. They're looking for a playoff caliber coach. You know what that is? That's Sean McDermott. And he's looking for a job next season. But anyway, we'll get more into this throughout because I think it would be fun to like draft them too. each draft two teams full of teams that McDermott could end up with and see what happens. But anyway, 803-0550. We'll keep taking your calls, rolling through. Little blurb on the other side about this end zone situation for the Bills, because I think there's an interesting little tidbit going on as well. But Joe Calley, Derek Kramer, this is Sports Talk Saturday on WGR.